ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
Nightlife. News Breakdown.
Time for Nightlife News Breakdown. We're 1 week out from the federal government's world first social media ban for children under the age of 16. Yes, from December the 10th, platforms that the Australian government have deemed to be included in the social media ban, and it's all the big ones, will need to deactivate all accounts for users under 16 and prevent these users from holding an account until after they turn 16. The tech platforms, large and small, are working on just how best to ensure that they can comply with these restrictions. But the onus is on them, not 16-year-olds, to comply. There's a considerable disincentive if they don't comply. The eSafety Commissioner must be satisfied the platforms have taken, in the legislation's words, reasonable steps to prevent under-16s from holding an account on the platform, or they could face fines of up to $50 million. Annika Wells, the Federal Minister for Communications, fronted the National Press Club today to deliver a speech and take reporters' questions relating to the ban, and she admitted that instituting the ban might well take some time.
There will still be kids with accounts on 10 December and probably for some time after that. Not only because kids are clever and inherently seek to circumvent systems, but because this law is a world first. However, if a child has a social media account on 10 December, then that platform is breaking the law.
And this is the point. The onus is on the platform, so let's see how it goes. She also had to face awkward questions about a September trip that she, along with staffers, took to the United Nations in New York to spruik the government's teen social media ban. Now, you'll probably remember Annika Wells fronting up at the UN for that particular engagement at the time. It got a lot of publicity. Taxpayers were apparently billed $70,000 for the dinner which she hosted while she was in New York. Well, you know, I know New York restaurants are expensive, but hey. And she and a staffer and a public servant spent, this seems hard to believe, $100,000 on flights to attend the UN General Assembly. I haven't checked business class airfares to New York, but surely. Anyway, joining us for tonight's Nightlife News Breakdown is Ellen Ransley. Ellen's the Courier Mail's federal politics reporter based in the Canberra Press Gallery. Ellen, good evening to you. Welcome to Nightlife.
Thanks for having me.
Well, a testy, maybe hostile lunch date for the minister. You've been covering this story and you pointed out that YouTube users in particular will have a range of issues. What are you seeing?
Yeah, so YouTube was the latest platform to confirm today that they would be complying with these laws coming into effect next week. You may recall that a couple of months ago they had floated the idea of maybe mounting a legal challenge against these laws. It appears for now that's not happening and they're getting on board. But in stepping out what they're going to do next week, they fired another salvo at the government saying that this won't make their platform safe for children. It will drive children to less safe parts of the internet and it removes kind of safety features that they've built into their platforms over the last couple of years to keep under 16s safe. So, for example, young people with accounts who will have those accounts deactivated next week, it'll mean parents will lose the ability to supervise their accounts and create content controls. Children will also lose access to these default well-being tools they have, like take a break and bedtime reminders. So, I mean, YouTube have been saying for months now that they shouldn't be captured in these laws. It's not surprising that in agreeing to comply, they've made another argument against it, but you know, they clearly think that they don't have a legal case to mount. They're just going to have to start doing what they have to do under the law, which comes into effect next week.
Yes, the government's got parents on their side on this one, I would think. The minister was grilled today at the press club. Here's some more of what she had to say about YouTube and parental control.
You can still use parental control measures on YouTube Kids, which is not captured by these laws, I would urge parents who are worried about that to look at esafety.gov.au, which has great materials to work through what this looks like for your household. But I guess I'm going to level with you. I find it outright weird that YouTube is always at pains to remind us all how unsafe their platform is in a logged out state. And if YouTube, even this morning, is reminding us all that it is not safe and that there is content not appropriate for age-restricted users on their website, then that is a problem that YouTube needs to fix.
Yeah. Look, the fact is, Ellen, that this is not going to work perfectly well first up, is it? It's going to need a lot of tweaking as it goes, if it works at all.
Absolutely. It's going to be bumpy, and I think we've seen in the last couple of weeks, you know, Annika Wells, the Prime Minister, the eSafety Commissioner, really trying to do some expectation management, saying, you know, big reforms, they're never perfect right away. You know, I'm sure that, you know, when seatbelts became a legal requirement many years ago, it took a while for everyone to get on board. You know, when we introduced plain packaging on cigarettes, there was a lot of people who were unhappy with that. You know, this is it's generational cultural change is how Annika Wells phrased it today. It's, you know, we are the first in the world to attempt this. So, of course, you know, we don't know how it's going to go. The tech platforms don't really want to cooperate with this. They're probably going to make it as difficult for us as possible. But I think the Prime Minister, Annika Wells, are really determined that just because it's going to be hard doesn't mean we shouldn't give it a shot. And Annika Wells today was, there were a couple of parents in the room at the press club today who lost their children to social media. And she, you know, this whole thing has been driven by parents like that who want to use their grief as real momentum for change. And now the world is watching. So it's not going to be 100% perfect straight away. I think we all know that. And kids are sneaky. They're going to try and find ways around this. We don't know if all the platforms, you know, we still have to hear from a couple of platforms how they're actually going to enforce this, if they're even going to comply with the law. So there's still a lot of unknowns in the last week before these laws come into effect. And I guess we won't really know how things stand until December 10, maybe December 11. And even then, it's going to take some time to really figure out how this is working.
Absolutely. Eyes of the world will be upon us. I mean, because a lot of countries would like to do this because there's a lot of concern about social media and its effect on kids. Hey, the Minister Annika Wells is having a few dramas about this New York trip and the cost of it. People are trying to link it coming amid the Optus 000 outage debacle and cost of living and so on. I mean, it does seem like an extraordinary sum of money, $100,000 for business class airfares. I presume it was accommodation as well, was it, to New York, plus $70,000 for a dinner. Well, having been to New York restaurants, as I was joking earlier on, I'm not surprised. I'm surprised that a dinner in New York for, you know, a few people would cost $70,000. It could easily. Is this, how's the government responding here? I mean, there's some criticism that it's, you know, that it's being a bit defensive about this and that maybe the tone's not right. How are you reading it?
Yeah, I think this is an interesting one for the government to try and navigate, because I think it goes to this broader problem, you know, and I'm sure we'll talk about government spending in a few minutes, but, you know, the government has put a lot of pressure the last couple of weeks on the public service and trying to get the public service to, you know, find 5% fat to trim. The government really has to be walking the walk there. I think, you know, Annika Wells had every right to go to New York. She is the communications minister. You know, the world is very keen to learn what Australia is doing. She did delay her trip to deal with the Optus outage, and that meant she couldn't fly with the Prime Minister. So she probably had to get last-minute fares, and the rules of these things are that ministers and public servants have to fly a certain class, have to be able to flat lie your workplace health and safety. I think, you know, it is a large amount of money. It's hard for I think the average person would look at that and think, well, is that really the best value for money? But I think it's part of a broader problem that the government is going to have to reconcile with is as the cost of living crisis goes on, they really have to, you know, make sure that taxpayers are getting the best value for
money.
But
at the same time, I mean, ministers need to travel. There's no question about
absolutely.
That.
Absolutely, absolutely.
And her attendance to this thing, which had the prime ministers from Greece, Malta, Fiji, Tonga, the European Commission president Ursula von der Leyen was there. You know, it was a great showcase for Australia doing this bold thing. A lot of countries were interested. I mean, it's hard to think that she wasn't there for a legitimate purpose.
No, and I think, you know, if she'd gone over and had gone to see Broadway shows or was shopping on Fifth Avenue, I think, you know, then we could be calling this her Bronwyn Bishop gate, but that's not what happened. She went over there. She had a very full schedule. She was supporting Emma Mason, who was one of those parents I talked about earlier who lost her daughter. You know, she was there meeting with a lot of world leaders. You know, Australia is doing what no other country has done. There's a lot of interest in that. You know, she was there and back in a couple of days. She was kept abreast of the Optus situation the entire time she was there. So I think this will blow over. I don't think this is, you know, some people are phrasing this as career ending for her. That's not what this is. It was unfortunate timing. The dollar amount, I think, you know, when normal people are confronted with that kind of some, it is kind of hard to stomach, but I think I don't think it's the end of the world.
No. All right. Look, the economy, stupid. That's not you. I'm talking to Ellen Ransley, who's the Courier-Mail's federal politics reporter. To the economy, and today's new GDP figures revealed a slight jump in growth, lower than expected. The economy grew just 0.4% in the September quarter, seasonally adjusted. 0.7 was widely anticipated. The Shadow Treasurer, Ted O'Brien, says the National Accounts is a sign of an economy continuing to languish.
The figures actually show that growth is almost half of what was expected, and that's not good news. And what it says is the economy really is limping its way towards Christmas. It's not a horror show, it's not a catastrophe or anything like that, but it's certainly a sign of weakness.
Well, never give a Treasurer a set of figures he's not happy with. Treasurer Jim Chalmers says that, well, I'm happy enough, and noting unexpected growth in the private sector too.
The really encouraging part of these numbers is to see that the growth in the private sector is gathering pace, and that's powered by the strongest growth in private investment in almost 5 years. The biggest story in these national accounts is the very strong growth in business investment and investment in housing as well. This is a positive and promising result. It speaks directly to the progress that we've made together in our economy. It's especially heartening to see the way that the private sector is gathering pace when you see the business investment numbers and also when you see the progress we've made in this quarter and through the year in housing as well.
Yeah, a chirpy Jim Chalmers, Ellen, but how are you reading it?
Yeah, so the quarterly growth didn't come in as strongly as had been expected, but over the year, it is the fastest GDP growth we've had in 2 years. And as Jim said, this has been driven by a private sector, especially, you know, in data centers. The AI revolution is well and truly here. It is trying to balance out, you know, the additional public spending that's had to be had in the last couple of years as we've come out of the COVID pandemic. But it has kind of sparked warnings from economists that there's still too much public spending going into the economy, and that's prolonging or risking higher inflation. And now the markets are even suggesting that we might get an interest rate hike next year. So Jim Chalmers will always kind of try and spin economic figures as positively as he can, but he is really under some pressure to rein in spending. He's got his mid-year budget update the week before Christmas. We are waiting to see what happens with whether the government extends its energy policy rebate. The writing on the wall at the moment appears to be they won't. And again, you know, they're kind of damned if they do, damned if they don't with that, because, you know, they're in a really uncomfortable situation where the more public government spending they put into the economy, the more that risks inflation and the more that risks more interest rate hikes, which is not what people want.
Yes, all right. Alan Ransley's with us, Courier Mail's federal politics reporter based in the Canberra Press Gallery. Just finally, Alan, the Bruce Learman case, dear oh dear, it's, he's lost his defamation case appeal, failing to overturn a finding that he raped Brittany Higgins at Parliament House in 2019. Now, the finding came at the end of his unsuccessful defamation action against Network 10 and journalist Lisa Wilkinson, stemming from that interview with Brittany Higgins on The Project back in 2021. The former Liberal staffer said he maintains his innocence. He has faced a criminal rape trial in the ACT Supreme Court, which was abandoned due to juror misconduct. There were no findings as a result. But in this action, he was attempting to overturn. Justice Michael Lee made judgment against him on a number of grounds, and he was attempting to overturn that, saying he was denied procedural fairness. But today the Court of Appeal dismissed that and said that Justice Lee had not erred in any of the ways alleged by Bruce Learman. This is lawyer Azali Burrows speaking outside the federal court after her client's appeal was dismissed.
First, I'd like to say that Bruce is really overwhelmed by the decision and I'm really concerned for him. Just want everyone to remember at the heart of the matter that we have a young man who was accused of rape in Parliament House. He maintains his innocence. We respect what the court has said. But everyone should reflect, even the shameless politicians who have used him for an agenda and everyone else, that Bruce's life has been destroyed. Just like to say that hope Bruce is seen as an inspiration to those who say they've been wrongly accused, because he will be seeking advice for special leave and it's not the end of it in respect of his pursuit for justice.
He will take it to the High Court.
He brought this upon himself by...
Thank you. Taking it to the High Court.
Yes, well, Alan, he's broke. He hasn't got any money to pay any lawyers. It's hard to see how the High Court would agree to hear any appeal, isn't it?
Yeah, and to invoke Justice Lee, he went back for his hat a second time. You know, can't see him trying to go back for a third time, but he is determined to clear his name. But this was really quite a definitive finding today. They even went a bit further than the Lee judgment and made a significant finding that Bruce Learman was not reckless about whether Brittany Higgins was consenting, but was aware she did not consent and went ahead anyway. So really quite a definitive judgment. He's bankrupt or he's about to be bankrupt. So, he can seek advice, but it's hard to see the High Court.
I think so. He does have some financial supporters, or doesn't he? Do we know?
Well, he did. We're not really sure where he's at the moment on this, but... he's also before the courts in another state as well. So
That's true. That is true. All right, Alan, terrific to have your time and thanks for weighing in on us for the Nightlife News Breakdown. It was great. Thank you.
Thanks for having me.
You've been listening to a Nightlife podcast. For more great conversations about the issues that impact you, as well as features on travel and food, head to the Nightlife webpage. You'll find it at abc.net.au/nightlife. You don't need to be a night owl to enjoy the nightlife.